you stand tonight, because I may want to talk about some of these verses as we go along here. Probably will be similar to what I preached Wednesday night. Some of you endured sound doctrine. I came to the pulpit with no notes at all, and I'm a note preacher, and I was doing that in an attempt to try to be have a shorter version, and I still didn't do too good on that. So I have scratched down a few things tonight, and I hope I can help you with this. How many is going to help the preacher tonight? All right, let's start at verse number 14. And if you I know you Bible readers know this 8th chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. Starts out, I love it. There's therefore now no condemnation unto them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Many of y'all have that verse memorized. Let's go on down. It's talking about walking in the Spirit. I want to start at verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's enough right there to stop, lay the microphone down. And everybody in the house that wants to shout can shout hallelujah right there. There's enough right there. And I just told you something tonight. So, preacher, I already know that. Well, are you doing it? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are, present tense, right now, I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That Abba, Father, that's like saying, Daddy. You know, I didn't go around at home calling my dad, Father. Father, let's go do something today. Father, may I go somewhere? Father, no, I didn't do that. I called him Dad, Daddy. We cry, Abba, Father. Verse number 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Amen. Here's some more. I'm telling you tonight that we, amen. I wish everybody would say it with me. That we are, amen. Come on, say that again. That we are the children of God. Man, this is getting better. Somebody, I tell you what, Vance Havner, the late Vance Havner said, he said, I tell you what's going to happen. He said, one day somebody's going to get saved. And he don't preach like I do. If you've ever listened to him, you know, listen to him preach, he talks real softly and real properly, you know, in that era of time. He said, somebody is going to read the book of God and they're going to believe it and they're going to embarrass the rest of us. Somebody's going to get saved. They're going to read the book of God. And they're going to believe every word it says. Amen. And they're going to embarrass the rest of us. Why? Because we've read it and read it and read it. And we've been culture Christians. And we've adapted. And we've morphed. And we've accepted. And we've received. And we've been a part. And we never understood that we are really the children of God. Woo! Well, I believe some of you are seeing this already. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We are the children of God. And verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Man, that's good. And then he reiterates it. Heirs of God. Then, if we're the sons of God, that means we're children of God, and that we're heirs of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're children, we're heirs of God, and then we are joint heirs. How many remember Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me? I got 3 or 4 hands. How many remember reading in Mark chapter 16 that all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me? And if I, Sister Joy, am a joint heir with the one that has been given all power. Man, I tell you, I'm not even putting this on, but I just got to shout about this. Hallelujah. We are the children of God, and we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I reckon
I reckon.
You reckon I can do something? You know, that's kind of the way we use that word in Oklahoma. You know, reckon. You reckon? But that reckon has a much deeper meaning. That is like a that is like one that adds everything up in the column. That's the CPA. That's the man that adds it all, and he reconciles the numbers. Amen. He reckons them to be correct. Hallelujah. Oh God, you're going to have to help me tonight. I can tell already that I need to be doing a whole lot better than what I'm doing already here tonight. Praise God. Plainly states in verse 17, this is what I want to tell you. It is our status. It is our position as children. Amen. Because of our position, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. I want to use for a title something like this. May not be exactly accurate. Your condition does not have to redefine your position. Your condition does not have to redefine your position. In John 8 and 34, Jesus said the servant, talking about if you sin, you are the servant of sin. Verse 35 said, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son. Amen. Are y'all following me? The servant doesn't abide in the house forever, but the son abideth in the house E-V-E-R. Ever. Amen. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Would somebody let me know you're getting a hold of this tonight? I'm telling you, it will revolutionize your walk. And the devil don't ever want you to start. He don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of who you really are and what you already have. He wants you to say in heaven, you're going to get it. In heaven, you're going to be a child of God. In heaven, you're going to be an heir. No. He said right now, you're the son of God and you are an heir. And the devil knows if we start believing it, that we will have revival. And we'll start receiving and we'll start believing and we'll start seeing things. Amen. It will totally change our walk with God. Amen. Amen. The servant doesn't abide in the house, but the son abides forever. That's the difference in the servant and the son. Say, oh, I'm a servant, preacher. I'm a servant. Well, that might be all you be. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people trying to serve God that don't know God. And you're going to have a hard time trying to serve God if you don't know God. And you'll be better off to know Him rather than just trying to serve Him. I mean, it's humble and it's nice and everything. It's wonderful that you can serve Him. But I'm worried about people that are trying to serve Him that are not really knowing Him. And I want to tell you something, young people. When you really get saved and you really start knowing who you are and you really have a relationship with God, you'll keep more of the commandments by accident than you ever did trying to. Man, I wish somebody would shout hallelujah. I mean, because it's just your nature. You're a son. You're an heir and you are a joint heir. I know this is not clothesline preaching. I understand that. But I can tell you, if you can get in relationship with Jesus Christ, He will do a work in your heart. Amen. He'll right those wrongs. He'll start changing that. We did see that. I think you're probably referring to what we've seen. We've seen that ungodly lady come in there at Richmond and kneel at the altar. And she was not, I mean, she didn't have near enough on. But in just a matter of a few minutes, it wasn't somebody just trying to cover her up. She was trying. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's just, I thank Brother Arnold. Maybe a little bit of frustration of trying to get people and trying and realizing there's no need in me trying. If they get a relationship with Christ and they start loving Him. Amen. Praise God. I told y'all Wednesday night what old Scott Loper said when he said that backslid preacher walked up, slapped him on the back in the hospital and said, oh, Scott, when I was saved, I was stricter than you are. He turned around and looked at him and said, I'm not trying to be strict. I'm trying to be holy. And I want to tell you something. Somebody needs to write that down, for there are chasms of difference, amen, between the definitions from being strict and being holy. Woo, hallelujah. There's a lot of people that try to live strict, but they're not holy. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you are holy, you will live a godly, separated, sanctified life. And while you're doing it, you'll love doing it. Amen. And you'll want to do it. And you can't wait to do it. And you'll do it before the preacher ever gets around to preaching about it. Oh, I'm trying to be holy. I really am. God, I'm telling you, can y'all tell God's working on the preacher? He's trying to get me to exalt Christ to you. And if I can exalt Christ to you, and you can fall in love with Him, and you can realize who He is, and what He wants to do in your life, and you can understand already that you are an heir does not get anything that he has coming to him because of works. That's it, brother. The Son abideth ever. And then that next verse. And if the Son therefore shall set you free. Oh, you're really free, man. You shall be free indeed. Amen. If you get in relationship with him. And he goes, tells his daddy, amen, I'm hooking up and I'm gonna make him a joint heir with me. Amen. And we already know the Son abideth ever in the house. Amen. Yeah. And he says, I'm gonna bring you into my house. Amen. And I'm gonna give you all the privileges I have. That's what that scripture means. You are free indeed. Hallelujah. You are just as much a son as Jesus Christ. You are a joint heir. I'm telling you, church, somebody needs to hear me preaching here tonight. Start believing who you are. Start receiving who you are. Start accepting who you are. Start telling the devil who you are. And to get off of your case. Get on back to hell where he belongs. Amen. He's always trying to mess with your condition. He's always trying to show you where you're at. But I'm going to tell you something. Your condition does not have anything to do with who you are. It doesn't have anything to do with your status or your position. Amen. That's the devil that tries to deceive you about who you are because of what your condition is. Man, I need to preach here. Amen. That is showing position. If the Son says you can live in the big house, get your stuff and move in. I'm going to say it again. When the Son says that you can move into my house, get your stuff and move in. And take your place at the table and receive and believe that you are a joint heir. Because the Son has made you free. Amen. I love this. Hadn't thought about this in a long time. How many of you here remember Brother Frankie? For you young folks that don't, go back there and look at the picture of Sister Gail, myself, and Brother Frankie. I didn't have any gray hair hardly then at all. Oh, I miss Frankie so much. And Frankie, God had his hand. God had his hand on Frankie from a small child. The military, our U.S. military had a very vivid presence in Panama. It was the ingenuity of American engineers after other people. The man that had tried, that had been successful in developing the Suez Canal, went to build a canal across the mountains of Mexico. And it wasn't too long, Brother Todd, till he realized he was in over his head. It's a whole lot different building a canal across high mountains than there is just digging a big ditch through sand. And that's basically what it was to build the Suez Canal. People started dying like flies. Dying. They contacted malaria, and they finally let the project go and quit. And American engineers, oh, thank you, Jesus, through great men. Like, you know, in my opinion, the great Roosevelt was Teddy Roosevelt. Amen. Come on now. Oh, somebody say hallelujah now. Amen. But he sent those men down there and they worked and they died and they sweated and they bled and they dug that canal out across those mountains and built those locks. You know how that works. Amen. They go over. They actually, I've been there. I've seen it happen. They literally take those ships over that mountain range through a series of locks. They raise those ships up. Take them across that mountain and let them back down. Amen. The Americans done it. Thanks to the wonderful President Jimmy Carter in the 70s, he gave it back to them. money-making outfit, money-making business operating the canal, but the military, y'all please forgive me. I'm sorry. I do this, and I know, and I shouldn't do it. I get in the weeds, but I just can't hardly help it. The military, the U.S. military built a post in Panama City, and the Americans were there by numbers. Amen. So Frankie's dad is a Kuna Indian. He don't know how to speak Spanish. He don't know how to speak English. All he knows how to speak is Kuna. But he loves the Americans. He loves to work. And I'm going to tell you all this. God, I believe God done this. God let Frankie's dad get a job at the post. I talked to Frankie's dad. I conversed with him. Frankie's dad could speak very good English. And you know where he learned English? He learned it from the U.S. military at the post in Panama. And can you see the hand of God working in that already? That's how Frankie learned English. Listen to this. He said, it's what Frankie told me. My dad had a job at the post. That's what he called it, at the post. And he said the Kunas were not supposed to bring their families or their children into the post, he said. But he said, Dad slipped me in, amen, to the post. He said, I had to be still. I had to stay hid. I had to stay in the house. Amen. But he said, one day, like a little child is doing, he said, I peered out the window. He said, there were some children playing and riding bicycles. And I looked over the pane outside. And he said, a little boy saw me looking through the window. And he said, this right here. So what's a 7 or 8 year old boy going to do? Amen. You know what he done? He disobeyed Dad. He slipped out. Slipped out the door, and he's having fun. He's learning to speak English. I mean, I'm telling you, God's in every bit of this. This is kind of a side note on my message, but he's out there learning to play, ride the bicycle, and along here comes the police along. And they say, who are you? Amen. He said, the next thing I know, he said, I'm sitting down in the office, a little boy, can't speak English very well, and he's sitting in the office with a big general. The big man is looking at him. Who are you, son? Who is your daddy? They found out who he was. And he said, you're going to have to leave. You're going to have to take him out. Amen. But Frankie said, in his broken English, he said, my little friend, he cried. Amen. And it said, it just happened that my little friend that cried, his dad was the big general. And Frankie said, that had these things on his arm. Amen. Are y'all getting this? Are y'all getting this? He had these things on his arm. He had these stripes. And when little boy that was crying because his friend was going to have to go back to the islands, he told his dad, you let him stay. And the big man with the stripes on his arms said, this boy stays. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I want to tell you something here. My God, if we'd get a hold of this, we've got a God in heaven. We've got a big brother named Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's got stripes on his arm. And he's got scars on his hand. And he's got piercings in his side. And he says, you stay in the big house. You live on the post. You stay here and be protected by the military and by all the assets of the Americans, because you belong here. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, church, we need to see who we are. We need to stand up and say we're the children of God, and we belong to him, and we are his through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I need somebody to give him some praise in here tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. One does not become by works. It's in birth. And when you're birthed into this, amen, it doesn't matter what your condition is. His condition was he was at a place off the islands on the American post. But when the big man with stripes on his jacket said, this boy stays. I don't know of a better way to illustrate that. Amen. That is that's that son that abideth in the house. Amen. He abideth ever in the house because his dad's the big general. And so he can go get any little Kuna boy he wants and says, I want to play with him and I want him to live here. Amen. There's nothing nobody can do about it. My friend, you got to get a hold of this. You got to see this. If you will, you will walk in victory. Amen. You will walk in healing. God wants you to receive your healing. All right, I've already preached too long, and there's no way. I'm just on page 2, and I've got 5. So I'm going to use wisdom, all right? Is that all right? And we'll preach some more of this. I can tell it's way bigger than what I thought it was. Amen. And somebody, I believe while I've already been preaching, that somebody started believing who you are. Amen. It's not by your works, it's by your birth. And if I can get you to believe who you are, amen, I'm telling you, you're going to scare the devil to death when you square your shoulders back and walk out of this church building tonight and saying, I am a son of God. I am a child of God. Amen. The Son abideth in the house forever, and I'm going to live with him in the house. I'm going with him. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you the truth here. Amen. God's trying to do something. God's trying to show you something. God's trying to help you realize, amen, that there's work to do. Amen. And God's showing you he loves you. Woo! He had a Holy. Give him praise, church. Give him praise. Amen. Let's end this thing up worshiping him and praising him. I'm a child. I'm a son. I'm an heir. I didn't get it by works. I could never work my way into it. I could never be good enough. Amen. But I'm saved because somebody said I could live here. Somebody said I could stay here. Somebody said I could be protected here. Somebody said I could eat here. Somebody. Ooh, amen. Don't tell me God's not moving. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. A woman just a little bit younger than I am at the Jersey camp meeting. Amen. This is one reason I go to camp meetings. God's working in other places. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God moved in a mighty way. The glory of God come down and was manifested. Amen. Wasn't it, Sister Val? I'm telling you, it was. God moved and worked. Amen. They were live streaming like we do. People was moving so good. God was moving so great in that Wednesday service that people were sending in their prayer requests from across the country. They could detect the move of God over that internet. I know some folks don't believe in it, but God controls it. Hallelujah. Oh, we got to get it in his hands, church. So I called Brother Dave and find out a little bit more about it. Sister Val, vouch for this. They was there. I'd never seen the awfulest garb her arm was in. It was in a sling and then looked like a waistband that went all around it that held it. I mean, they did not want that shoulder to move. And she's a young woman. Brother Scott's sister-in-law, Sister Rhonda, all good. And she come for prayer. And different ones got to exhorting. I mean, it took us a long time. A lot of preachers and a lot of things was told. A lot of faith building going on. People was getting prayed for. And God was moving. Amen. And she said, when we prayed for her, this is later on the day. We was up at Stone Mountain on the way back. We got a picture. And Sister Rhonda's standing. Somebody took a picture of her with both hands. Well, you kind of get the rest of the story. When we got back to church Wednesday night, whatever you want to call it, Katie barred the door. All she wrote, you know, pandemonium, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, about like it is here right now. People were shouting. People were running. People were magnifying God. Oh, it's amazing when God shows his mighty power and what he can do. God heals broken bones on the spot. So I called Brother David yesterday to find out about it. She fell just a few weeks ago. Couldn't even get up. Had to get the neighbor to come down and help her get up. She was broken up so bad. And they told her, it would be 8 weeks, she said, when she testified Wednesday night before she could. And she demonstrated. The doctor said it would be 8 weeks before I could hold my arm up like this. And she said, and I can hold it up like this. Not only was she doing that, she was doing this. And this. Woo! From the sling to healing. Because there's healing in the big house. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you, the devil's going to beat us down. He's going to hold us down. He's going to tell you you're not worthy. That's just what you were saying tonight. I've come. There was a man told me recently. He said, and please, please, surely you won't misunderstand me as much as I've preached standard through the years. And there's some things I'm real sticky about. And y'all know it. He said there was a man had an accident. And he testified this in a meeting. And they were on the side of the road. And they were in trouble and needed help. Amen. And as he began to call on God, this is what was told to me. He said, God, you know I've had my sleeves right here all this time. You know I've lived like this all this time. I've wore this and I've done that. Now, God, get down here and help me. No, 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 no. God might have come down and helped him. And I hope God did. But it wasn't because of his holiness. Oh, God. And I believe in living a separated life. And I believe in the godly standards that God brings us to when we get in relationship with him. I've already told you once, when you really get in relationship with him, you'll keep more commandments by accident than you ever will with me trying to tell you every one of them. Amen. You say, preacher, you give up. Maybe I have give up. Somebody said, you better catalog sin. If I start cataloging sin, let me tell you something. When I see it and God deals with my heart, I'll stand behind this pulpit and I'll square my shoulders back and I will cry loud and spare not. That's my commitment to you. But if I'm going to start cataloging sin and telling you everything, and I've had people tell me, how am I going to know what's right and wrong? If somebody don't tell me, I'll tell you what you better know. You better know the voice of the shepherd. Amen. You better know the voice of the man that lives in the big house. And it don't matter what the preacher. I know of people that have been in worldly churches that measured up. And they never heard a message on holiness or separation. But they heard the voice of the one in the big house. Oh, my sheep know my voice. Hallelujah. And a stranger they will not follow. You see what God's dealing with me about? He's trying to show me. Amen. And I realize where we're at, the church, amen, of this generation and all the things that's out there and all the things you can get involved in. Amen. And the slippery slope of this and that. And this is no worse than this. And that's no worse than that. And I can't answer all of those questions. But I can tell you that you have a shepherd. Amen. And he wants to be in relationship with you. And he wants you to make heaven more than you want to make heaven yourself. And if you'll get in relationship with him and listen to him. Amen. And do what he says to do. Praise God. I tell you what you won't be. Amen. You won't be strict according to the Amish code. You won't be strict according to the holiness code. You won't be strict according to the charismatic and their loose code. Amen. But oh, brother, if you're listening to God's voice, you will be holy. Amen. 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 And when you live holy, God's holy people have always been separated. God's people have always looked different. Amen. God's people have always stood out. Amen. But oh, if God's helping you and you're in relationship with him and you're doing those things because you love God, you're going to be happy about it. You're going to be smiling about it. You're going to be rejoicing about it. And other people's going to be saying, why not? Why about that? Please don't ever, when you're asked about your standards, say my preacher said or my church said. Amen. I'm going to quit saying it. Amen. Come on now. Now, don't take that wrong. I can't. The Spirit's been too high for me to balance every statement. Now, I'm going to preach some more about this. I got three more pages. And it's good. It's good stuff. I'm going to tell you. But I think some of you have come to a place tonight that we're on first base here. You know, maybe God's using me. I'd love to preach so good and do so good that y'all say, man, I want to be back there Sunday morning. I sure want to be there. I don't want to miss that. I just don't get this idea. I'm just going to listen on Spreaker. Come on, somebody, get us a song. Amen. Right now, rejoice. Would you just rejoice in your salvation? Praise God. I'm a son. I'm a son. I'm a son. I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir. Amen. I did not join. No, I was born. I've had a new birth. Amen. Some glorious day. I'm going to sail away. Amen. Praise God. I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah here tonight. Amen. Here's some coming on down to seek God. How about some more young people filling in these altars? Amen. How about some more? You're not interested in a code.